You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Here, we've been doing a series looking at the most important news and notes and things that we've heard about teams around the league as they go into OTAs and minicamp here, setting the stage and some of the rumors and the battles that we're looking forward to playing out this summer to help us decide where to take guys in fantasy football. So we'll continue that. We've gone through the entire AFC in two different shows. We've gone through half of the NFC on our last show. Now it's time to look at the other half of the NFC and finish our roundup here, the NFC South and NFC West. So we'll talk about those eight teams here on the podcast. Again, check out SportingNews.com. You have the fantasy football rookie rankings there early that you can check out, as well as depth chart breakdowns of the biggest teams out there, the Raiders and the Steelers and Packers. So checking out their offenses and the big changes on those teams and what they mean as well for fantasy going forward. So all good stuff there. We'll continue with the good stuff here with the look at the NFC South here. And you look at the Falcons, we'll go in alphabetical order like we've done with these divisions. And the Falcons, the biggest thing so far is Devonta Freeman is looking good. He's slowly climbing up draft boards. We talked about his position as an RB2, pretty high-end RB2 at this point. There's some concern about how much Ito Smith could cut into it, but I think that's less and less. They want to make Freeman the centerpiece. They've invested more in the offensive line with Chris Lidstrom and Caleb McGarry there in the first round of the draft. They had to rebuild the offensive line with Ryan Schrader being released and Andy Levitre retiring there. So some changes up front for the Falcons, but they want to get back to a running in the ball as they want to set up the deep pass with Dirk Koetter taking over the offense again away from Steve Sarkisian. So they want to be able to power run the little bit. We saw in the past with Dirk Koetter, they were a single back mostly team. So Devonta Freeman is going to benefit from that. He's on track to be healthy here. That's really the only concern with Freeman. We know he's a special back, going to finish a lot of drives, can catch passes as well as a complete back for the Falcons. So that's really the only question mark. And Devonta Freeman so far looks on track here. Now, I think he's a pretty high-end RB2. I mean, Ito Smith, he had some moments there with Tevin Coleman kind of filling in. But I think with Freeman in there, it's a different type of back because Coleman is not a guy that you want to wear down too much and give him too many touches. Well, Freeman is a bit of a hoss that way, where they don't mind pounding it in the middle of the field between the tackles with Devonta Freeman. So hopefully he can hold up to do that. He's getting a little older, but still has a few more productive years left, and that's what you're looking at with Devonta Freeman. Now, the next team we'll talk about is the Panthers, and we'll stick with the backfield theme here. Reports are they're pretty set at wide receiver with DJ Moore as your number one and Curtis Samuel working in as like a slot type number two and working in different guys to produce to make up for the loss of Devin Funchess. But in the backfield, there's a big question mark. How do you handcuff Christian McCaffrey? Right now, all eyes are on Jordan Scarlett. They're the draft pick. Not the back that everyone thought the Panthers might take. They were looking at Daryl Henderson of Memphis, who ended up being Todd Gurley's new rookie backup there with the Rams. But Jordan Scarlett, a lot of the traits of McCaffrey that they can put in there. And I think with McCaffrey, they have limited guys behind him. So they need somebody that, if he were to go down, that could seamlessly fill in with his speed and quickness. Jordan Scarlett has those attributes for sure. So you got to handcuff McCaffrey. I mean, he's one of those backs that's so special, but I think the Panthers would be in a situation to plug and play someone in his place. We've seen that with Norv Turner. It's usually one back that carries the load there. So Scarlett looking like the guy is dynamic here. Jonathan Stewart in retirement. I have Cameron Artis-Payne hanging around there. But you have to say that Jordan Scarlett even a lot of people didn't know who he was. He looks like a really cool name in the draft, but I think they were looking for someone. They made this clear that could be a lot like McCaffrey if he went down. And so far with his rookie minicamp, he's done well. I think DJ Moore is starting to take it to another level as well. So the youth is going to be served on the Panthers offense in different forms, and Moore on the front line as a potential number one receiver for this team, wide receiver 2-3 there in fantasy. And Jordan Scarlett looks like a pretty ideal handcuff at this moment for Christian McCaffrey if things continue the way they are. The next team we look at is the New Orleans Saints, and they didn't have a lot of change on their offense. Latavius Murray looking solid there as the new number two back, the power back, to complement Alvin Kamara. But the other acquisition they made was Jared Cook, and the Saints offense very happy about what they can do with Jared Cook working with Drew Brees. Big season working with Derek Carr's security blanket. You look at this team, I mean, you have Michael Thomas there. You have the field stretchers, Ted Ginn and others that can make the big plays. Tre'Quan Smith might do a little bit more in that role this year. But they plugged in him and Keith Kirkwood and Austin Carr and some other guys like that. But I think with Cook in there, he's going to see a big role. We know what that's done in the past. Usually what the Saints like to do is have that big, strong target, whether it's Michael Thomas lining up outside or inside, or in the past, Marcus Colston as the straight-up big slot guy. Then they like a quicker, fast guy, the Lance Moore type. And then they like a field stretcher, such as Devery Henderson or Robert Meacham or now Ted Ginn. And then they like to throw the tight end. We know what that has added up before for big numbers for Jimmy Graham in this offense. So we look at Jared Cook. He's the best athlete that they've had there since. I know they've worked in guys like Josh Hill and looking at as well as Dan Arnold, but really overall they missed a guy that can consistently do that, stretch the field, make defenses pay attention. Now Jared Cook's not going to give you too much in blocking situations in general, so that could hurt a little bit. So if they're ahead and the Saints defense is playing well and they get in the mode where it's going to be a lot of Kamara and Murray, then you're not going to see Cook as much on the field to catch those balls. So keep that in mind. But he's also a weapon they want to unleash early, help them build leads and do that. And he's coming off one of his best seasons late in his career with Oakland. So they're excited to use Jared Cook. We're excited to see what he can do coming off a big season late in his career. And now with a great quarterback there in Drew Brees. And things couldn't be more exciting for the Saints offense going forward with him adding a new element there to their downfield passing. Now we'll get back and talk about the last team in the division, the Buccaneers, in a moment. But first, we got to take a break again to talk about sex, guys. That's right, sex. Good sex we're talking about. And hey, remember that you were able to go all the time when you were younger? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence that you need in bed. Listen up. It's Blue Chew, bluechew.com. It's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as pills, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. And a lot of guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, this is time for Blue Chew to help you through to the next round of the playoffs. So it's your ticket to just better performance in bed overall. It doesn't matter who you are. Blue Chew is also prescribed online and ships direct to your door in a discreet package. So there's no more of that waiting in the pharmacy, none of that awkwardness that comes also with an in-person doctor's visit. So it's very convenient there. They're made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, making Blue Chew cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, there's a special deal extra for you listeners to Locked On Fantasy Football. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code Locked On. All you do is pay that $5 shipping cost. Again, that's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On. Try it completely for free. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, and faster choice. Thanks again to Blue Chew for sponsoring Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here with a look at the Bucs and then dive into our final division news and notes, the NFC West. All right, let's look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And a lot of things are in flux. We know that with Bruce Arians taking over as head coach. You have no more DeSean Jackson, so Chris Godwin slides up in a role. I think they'll use O.J. Howard more than people think. They have to. He's the big talent here. Typically, we haven't had Bruce Arians use the tight end like that, but he's also not had a special player who can kind of maybe line up all over. And the beauty with O.J. Howard is they can also move Chris Godwin, second wide receiver, all over. And Godwin coming off a strong year with Mike Evans, that's a pretty nice trio there. But you got to find that slot replacement or the number three, however you want to slice it, wherever you line up Godwin, because Godwin has that ability, like Larry Fitzgerald, he's been already likened to that, to play inside if needed, and you play a little outside game. So look at Breshad Perriman. He's more in the vein of what DeSean Jackson is when he's been healthy and been able to stretch the field. That's few and far between in his previous stops here in the NFL as a first-round pick, but that's why he was drafted by the Ravens in the first round, because he was a speedy guy outside. So there's that element where you could put Evans on one side and put Godwin in the slot and Perriman on the outside. But they also like Scott Miller there as well, a kid that can line up a slot, fill in of what a lot of Adam Humphries gave them, who's moved on now to the Titans. So we're going to see how this passing game goes, but I think there should be a lot of optimism. Bruce Arians had a big impact on Carson Palmer, got those receivers going there at various speeds. John Brown or J.J. Nelson each had some viability behind Larry Fitzgerald. So there is some precedent there with Bruce Arians and really having a big effect on wide receiver with his staff. And Howard, again, I think is going to be the co-number two in this pecking order after Evans with Chris Godwin. But the fourth person is key to get James Winston going and potential making a potential back-end QB2 sleeper here that can have big things, and this is a good battle to watch to see who's really that third wide receiver in Tampa Bay to really get this passing game going. There's also a similar battle going on as we flip over to Bruce Arians' former team, the Cardinals. The wide receiver, they drafted three. That's Hakeem Butler, Andy Isabella, and Keyshawn Johnson. Not a kind of a parallel or clone of Keyshawn Johnson, but someone they got late in the draft. Andy Isabella is that perfect slot receiver. Hakeem Butler is that classic big size, stretch the field outside. You also have Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk. So basically you're going to see a lot of mixing of Kirk and Isabella in the slot, Fitzgerald on the outside, move him in sometimes. Kirk can go inside outside as well. And then you see Hakeem Butler as that big threat outside. So you see a lot of spread situations there for Kyler Murray. That's what's developing here. It's a good battle with all these guys for pecking order. Don't forget about Chad Williams. He's still around as well. Guy that they were once high on behind Fitzgerald is maybe being a key receiver. Kirk coming off a good year. See how that chemistry goes here without Josh Rosen. Kirk and Rosen were good friends, so we'll see. That covers over. Carries over to Kyler Murray, but that's an interesting battle for sure. However you look at it, the guy he's going to trust most is Larry Fitzgerald in possession situations, and when he's in trouble, flipping to David Johnson. So it's really finding the third option next. Then Kirk is going to be locked into that and have a key role, having a little bit more experience and coming out of a system where I think he'll do well with what Cliff Kingsbury wants to stretch the field. But they're pretty adamant about saying we're going to spread the field and make things special with this team, and that's what you're looking at there. And the next team we'll look at is the Rams. The big news is Daryl Henderson. We mentioned him as a candidate that the Panthers were looking at as a handcuff. Well, the Rams kind of got him as a handcuff. They've tried different guys before. John Kelly, Tennessee, had some promise. I don't think they like the wiggle of him. That prompted them to get C.J. Anderson behind Todd Gurley. Also had Malcolm Brown lingering on the team. In the past, they've had Benny Cunningham. Well, Daryl Henderson's that speedster home run hitter that if they need the explosive play without Gurley in there and Gurley recovering, continues to recover and get stronger, closer to 100% with that knee injury. They want somebody who can make those explosive plays for Sean McVay, and that's why they got Daryl Henderson. He's a straight-line runner, but he's got a lot of pop and juice and maybe could be even more productive in the pros than he was there at Memphis, but he was known for straight line, shooting out a cannon, reeling off some big runs, and he'll get that opportunity here. The Rams are rebuilding their offensive line a little bit, so the interior is a little bit of question, but Henderson's a special back. If he gets a hole, and he can shoot right through it for a big run. And they saw some of that for sure early in camp with him joining the rest of the rookies in action. When you look at Cooper Kupp, he's well on target here to return fully recovered from his knee injury and be a big factor in this passing game for the Rams behind Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks. I would say right now Cooper Kupp is right there with Woods and Cooks as being co-number ones in this particular offense. We look at the 49ers. This one is a bit in flux with how you look at the wide receiver situation. Jimmy Garoppolo returns. Now, Marquise Goodwin, as mentioned, looking at him more in that Taylor Gabriel role. So we start to do the parallels and the shoot around to what we had with the Falcons. And I think you look at him, that's what he's really meant to be, where Dante Pettis is more that number one receiver. And that's what's developing here early for the 49ers. Pettis is an upgrade because he's youthful and makes a lot of big plays over what they got from Pierre Garçon fading near the end of his career. So they had to make a change in that direction there. So Goodwin, I mean, we've seen this in the past from Falcons offense and the Redskins offense, that speedster. They can line up everywhere, use his track speed to their advantage, create some mismatches there. So I think Dante Pettis is going to be more in the true number one vein. A lot of things open behind, especially with Trent Taylor and Deebo Samuel battling for that slot job. I think Taylor's in a lot of trouble because Samuel's way more dynamic than him. And you have Jalen Hurd. He's kind of the hybrid spot. He's okay being a running back if needed in power back situations, but he's a wild card that we know in the past, guys like Kyle Juszczyk, those type of people that the 49ers are good at using there because of what Kyle Shanahan calls and gets those guys involved in different ways in the passing game. So it's good cog there. So that allows Goodwin maybe to sell into a different type of role. We have Dante Pettis and George Kittle basically as your go-to guys there in San Francisco. And Jimmy Garoppolo, no matter how you slice it, is in good shape here upon his return, fully healthy there. But Goodwin could see a diminishing role. He's a little bit of a trap there in drafting ahead of Pettis. If you're doing that, I'd say you have to go with Pettis. And keep in mind, Pettis is still no more higher than a wide receiver two. With that upside, maybe more of a wide receiver three behind George Kittle there. And Goodwin, more of a priority free agent or a late wide receiver three that you would look at that position versus a guy that you're looking to start right now, despite what we know about Garoppolo and Goodwin's early chemistry in San Francisco. Well, we got one more NFC West team to talk about. The Seahawks will do that in a moment. But keep in mind, we're the perfect podcast. All the podcasts are on the Lockdown Network to take with you in the car. That's right. Listen in the car. Never been easier with your smart speakers to take your favorite podcast on the go. And why not get the sports insight you're looking for from Lockdown Network, whether it's NFL or NBA or MLB, college sports, or into fantasy and gambling. We've got you covered here on the network. So check us out. Take us on the go, whether it's your morning commute or your time during the day just driving around. We're here to make it a lot better and a lot more informative and entertaining. So check us out and download our podcast using the Himalaya platform. However you take us at home, in the car, we greatly appreciate you listening. We'll be right back here to look at the Seahawks and their big changes here in the 2019 offseason ahead of OTAs. All right, let's close with a look at the Seattle Seahawks. And with the Seahawks, the biggest development is that Doug Baldwin was retired. He tweeted that he was probably getting released, and then you saw that he was going to be retiring. So Tyler Lockett slides in as the number one receiver here. Had a big year last year, really connected with Russell Wilson. Kind of put it all together, stayed healthy, used his speed, stretch of field. He can work the slot if needed. So he's going to give them a little bit more versatility now that Doug Baldwin is out of the mix. So Lockett will have to be the guy they move around and use as a key part in this offense. And we look elsewhere at wide receiver. It goes to DK Metcalf, the rookie. They're giving a big opportunity to step up. You had David Moore do some things, so those guys will be definitely involved here. David Moore had his moments. Couldn't quite come through. He's a limited talent, where Metcalf is just the right position to dominate wherever he is outside, especially with Lockett creating a different kind of mismatch, with a little bit smaller with his speed and quickness. Metcalf is a little straight line, size and speed, so they complement each other's games really well here, and that's going to help Metcalf get on the page with Russell Wilson, the newly minted gazillionaire, highest-paid quarterback now. So they want to use Wilson a little bit more. They still have that power running game in place with Chris Carson and Rashad Penny as their backbone, but I think Metcalf and Lockett, two speed guys, are going to give them more opportunities to stretch the field there with Wilson. And Wilson, by the way, has a new backup. It's Geno Smith. They kind of bounced around ideas and who would be more reliable as a backup versus Paxton Lynch, who is more taken as a developmental flyer there as the first-round pick of the Broncos, trying to latch on somewhere. But I think Geno Smith is some guy you could turn over this offense to, given it's a run-heavy type scheme. You're not going to get the greatest results, but he has some starting experience and kind of fits what they want to do in the system in Seattle. So overall, it's some good developments in wide receiver in the post-Doug Baldwin world, and that's what we're going to keep our eyes on to see how quickly Metcalf get involved and how much they're transforming Lockett into that go-to guy that's all over the field. So there you have it. A lot of things to watch, notable news and notes coming out of these previews for the offseason program for all these teams as they get going, really revved up here in May, late May, and then really turn the page toward those June mini camps. Last time you see these players before they're fully competing in the heat of training camp into the preseason. So good time to check in, check the pulse of all these teams, and we did that here over the course of these four shows, 32 teams, 32 in-depth analysis and notes there for your listening pleasure. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football this week. We'll be back next week to break down some more of the good offseason fodder there in fantasy football. This has been Vinny Iyer.